I'm Algernon Cash, and you're locked in. Quick note before we start. If you value long-form, independent conversations like this, support the work. Visit lockedin.cash and become a supporter. Your contribution keeps this possible. Last week, I hosted former Mayor Robbie Perkins for a direct conversation about what's happening in downtown Greensboro, the wave of restaurant and small business closures, and the deeper issues he believes are driving it. He wasn't talking about one restaurant. He was talking about an entire environment, public safety perception, panhandling, homelessness, cleanliness, storefront vacancies, and whether the city is maximizing opportunities. He also raised structural concerns, like whether Guilford County and the city can align on tools like tax increment financing, and whether downtown's core corridor, Elm Street, needs urgent, concentrated investment. But there's another side to this conversation. The organization that sits closest to downtown operations, partnerships, and day-to-day stewardship, Downtown Greensboro, Inc. Today, I'm joined by Zach Matheny to talk candidly about what's happening, what's real, and what's being misunderstood. Last week, Robbie Perkins came on and delivered blunt criticism. Today, Zach is here to respond with facts, accountability, and a path forward. Zach, I appreciate you taking the time. You're in a hard seat. Downtown is under pressure, businesses are closing, and DGI has become a lightning rod in the public debate. My goal today is to get beyond the noise and to what's actually happening, what's measurable, what's structural, and what's solvable. Zach, how are you, man? Thank you for locking in with me today. How are you?
I'm doing good, Algernon. Thank you for having me. It's been an interesting week. It's been an interesting few years. So I'm looking forward to talking with you about it.
Well, you've been in the hot seat here the last, you know, several months or so. I've been seeing a lot of the online criticism and some of the blame that's going around for you personally, as well as DGI. So I appreciate you just coming. It takes a lot of courage to come and answer questions and try to shed light in areas that oftentimes are uncomfortable. So let's just start with the first question. You know, I had former Mayor Robbie Perkins on last week. He did not hold any punches. He was very, very blunt in his criticism of what's going on in downtown Greensboro and of DGI. So I just want to give you an opportunity first to respond to some of those criticisms.
Where do you start? Certainly, Robbie is not a person short of words. I've known Robbie well, probably since 2005, so quite some time. You know, I like Robbie. Robbie's a friend and has been a good friend over the years. And that's okay for friends to disagree. I will be honest in the fact of one of the comments Robbie said about criticisms and blame is I haven't heard one restaurant say that it's DGI or Zach Matheny's fault for the reason they're closing. He specifically said restaurants are not blaming anybody. And so the tone there does need to be corrected. Algernon, I'll be honest also and say that last year, from a perspective of the economy, government shutdowns, what's happening in our nation, and in downtown Greensboro, we had construction on Green Street that was 2 years over the timeline. You had construction on Davie, we had construction on Elm, we had a parking deck come down at Bellmead and Elm and Green, we had Friendly and Market. It was a disaster. Couple that with the economy, and we can get into more of that. Last year was a tough year for downtown in general, including, of course, the restaurants.
Well, you know, Zach, I appreciate you giving some of that context. I think context always helps people to better understand what's going on. And, you know, I've been very critical of downtown Winston-Salem for many years. I'm sure you probably had conversations with Jason Thiel. And, you know, we had a lot of issues that we've had to try to work through. My question for you, downtown Greensboro, because you guys are just coming on the scene with some of these issues. Do you think what's emerging is structural for your restaurants and small businesses in downtown? Or is this just some type of a temporary season that you think downtown Greensboro is in?
I'd say probably both. You know, I don't think you can pinpoint one thing. You know, there's each individual restaurant that is announced. And Algernon, I've got a restaurateur in downtown Greensboro that has been telling me for the last 6 months, get ready. There's going to be a wave. There's going to be a wave of closings. And because they're looking at trends on the National Retail Institute, the information that they receive that says this is where everybody is and this is the factors that are going into play. You've seen restaurants throughout the country close. And so some of it, they have their own story. Some of it, they want a different lifestyle. Some of it could be structural. Some of it, you know, could be from a temporary, let's slingshot out of this economy, which ironically, I hear a lot and I've studied a lot about the K economy. Those who have it, have it. Those who don't. And you got the K. And so thinking about that and how people spend money is the temporary fix. But there's a lot that's changing right now. And how do we pivot and adapt?
You know, you talk about the K-shaped economy, and, you know, my audience knows that I study the macro economy quite a bit. I also study the North Carolina economy quite a bit. And I don't disagree with you, Zach, at all. I do think that we are seeing a divide emerge amongst our consumers of the haves and the have-nots. It's the tale of two cities, as I talk about. So you spend a lot of time downtown. You're sort of the mayor of downtown. I mean, you know all the businesses, the residents. What are you hearing from consumers when you're navigating through downtown? I mean, is it just that consumers are financially exhausted at this point, or?
Well, looking at, say, December. December, you know, is usually a really good month for our restaurants. People are out. They've got office parties, family get-togethers. You know, they're spending money. They spend it differently this December than they have the last four Decembers. They're not. First of all, alcohol sales are extremely down. The ABC board met last week, and their numbers are significantly down. I think the top liquor organizations have huge excess of inventory because people are not drinking. That alcohol, as you are aware, in the food and bev industry, that's a leading profit maker for them. Food choices, instead of getting something of a little more substantive food, and I'm talking like a 20-plus person office lunch, for example, in December, holiday lunch. They're getting chicken fingers, mac and cheese, and french fries. They're not getting the other stuff. So the point of margin is lower. And so what we've seen from consumers is if they are spending money, they're spending it different. And they're spending it not as much. Things have changed.
No, I think you're right. I mean, the consumer habits are definitely shifting. I look at my own habits and I can see my own habits shifting as well. I don't personally eat out and do lunch as much out as I used to just because of the economy we're in. So I don't think you're wrong about this. However, when people in Greensboro see businesses and restaurants shutting down downtown, a lot of times they don't really dig into Zach. You know, they're not looking at the context as to why and what's driving it. What role does DGI play in all this? I mean, is it DGI's responsibility to jump out front when you see this kind of pressure occurring with consumers and affecting the businesses in downtown? Or,
you know, it's a good question, Algernon. It's one that I've repeatedly asked myself over the last week in particular. As you said, other communities, quite frankly, in 2024 had a lot of closures throughout the state of North Carolina. Greensboro was lucky. We didn't have any closures. Now, in 2026, fast forward a year, year and a half, it was our turn. How do you get out in front? One particular restaurant we've been working with and trying to help that I recruited over probably 6 years ago, which is Sillin's Go. Tara and Sean have a young family. Sean is an excellent chef. Tara's a great person. And they're looking at what's next. It's been a hard row for them. Coming out, opening in 2021. That mean they're not great people, but we've just been alongside them, walking with them and seeing how we can help them. And, you know, how do you jump out? Because it's not our business. It's their business. The businesses need to tell that story however they want to tell that story. And so, you know, we just want to be there to support them any way we can as the nonprofit organization. But certainly, you know, the other restaurants have their stories too.
You know, we just a moment ago, Zach, we talked about the K-shaped economy, and some people have discretionary income right now, and many do not. Last week, when former Mayor Robbie Perkins was here, Robbie said people with disposable income won't come downtown. He cited panhandling, homelessness visibility, street disorder, even noise and quality of existence, sort of quality of life type issues. Are you seeing the same thing that Robbie is observing? Are you talking to those same people that Robbie told us about last week?
You know, Robbie and I certainly run in the same circles in a certain degree. I hear it from my friends that sometimes, you know, they're scared to come downtown. The ironic thing from a statistical standpoint is we've made great strides working with the unsheltered population as an example. You know, a year and a half ago, when I was on city council, I think every meeting almost we talked about, or I brought up housing and what can we do to help those in need. And so at Downtown Greensboro Incorporated, DGI, you know, this is not in our description of what we're supposed to do, but I saw there's a need for folks that are in need. And so even recently, we signed a memorandum of understanding with the Interactive Resource Center, the IRC, the Day Center, that the ambassadors that we have under DGI can help with housing intake for the Doorway Project. And Algernon, we did that because we referred a gentleman November 19th to go into housing. And there was a gap, and he came December 12th. He still wasn't in housing. And so we were able to sign that MOU. The day we signed that MOU, shortly thereafter, we got on the bus and took that individual to the Doorway Project, which is our pallet homes. So if you look over the last 18 months, they're significantly changed on folks that are living on the street. We still certainly have some that less than 10 that are what I would call usual folks, but we're starting to see them even go to the IRC and get showers and get help. And so, you know, you look through where Robbie lives right down, or works right down the street and lives close by, Center City Park, drastically changed for the better. We're helping folks get the help that they need. And so I think that narrative wasn't as accurate as what is reality. But as you know, Algernon, perception that we're fighting from 18 months ago to 2 years is the reality that we got to work through today.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, perception becomes reality. I've traveled to many downtowns across the country, many downtowns right here in the state of North Carolina. And I will tell you that every center city that I've went in, I've seen unhoused residents. I've seen that in every urban core that I've been in. And I think that oftentimes when people see people congregating in this way, we've had the same exact issue over in downtown Winston-Salem. When people see people congregating the way they do, people oftentimes assume that some type of a crime is happening, or some type of a public safety issue is happening. But oftentimes it's just people that are congregating because they don't necessarily have anywhere to go. Now, Robbie mentioned last week that the ordinances, the city needs to do a better job of enforcing all the ordinances that are in place that prevent the panhandling, that prevent some of the unhoused residents just laying out on the street and some of the issues that are going on. So how much of this is a DGI issue, which I can tell you guys are getting a lot of blame, Zach? How much of it is a DGI issue, and how much of it might just be a police issue?
Or is it a health and human services issue, which is the county, right? Guilford County and counties throughout the state of North Carolina run health and human services. Is it a COC, the continuum of care? Is it how do we get the folks that are on the street the help that they need? From an ordinance standpoint, you know, Greensboro has some ordinances on the books. And actually, we have more police. We have more than double what was mentioned last week. I think it was said that we had 4 officers at night. Well, actually, Algernon, there's 9. There's 9 per shift. So we have some police coverage. Am I asking for more from an advocacy standpoint? Absolutely. I would love to have a few more officers downtown, but that doesn't mean downtown isn't safe. Now, I saw one comment on Facebook that said, I'm not getting my hair done downtown because it's unsafe. And the response was, when are you getting your hair done? 2 o'clock a.m.? Like when the clubs don't? Like, come on. You know, I haven't been downtown. And so, you know, what we're working through now from what is the responsibility of DGI is what can we do to educate better the safetiness of downtown Greensboro? How can we advocate for those that are panhandling or unsheltered to get the help that they need, in particular in these cold weeks, months, days, when how can we get them housed? How can we work with the parking? Parking has been an issue. None of this is what DGI controls. We don't control officers. We don't control parking. We don't control unsheltered. But Algernon, to your point, we're in. It's kind of like the Godfather movie. I never thought I'd be in, but they pulled me in. And so, yes, we're advocating for all those things to help our businesses. And then what else can we do? Last year, we, DGI, purchased cameras so that where GPD, our police officers, didn't have the real-time camera access on Elm Street, we bought the cameras and basically gave them to the police department so that they could have eyes on the street for crime, graffiti, et cetera. And so we're partnering with the city on those things to even make downtown a safer environment.
You know, Zach, I want to go back to something you said a moment ago because it was striking to me. You know, I know last week Robbie said that there was only about four cops on the street. He said there used to be 14. You just shared with us today that it's nine. Where's the breakdown in communication coming? And the reason why I'm asking is because of someone like Robbie, who's a former mayor, deeply involved with the city, certainly someone we all see as a city leader. He's certainly someone that should be informed and engaged. If he's unaware of the police presence, I can only imagine the ordinary resident would have no clue. So what's going on with the communication around public safety?
Well, I think that's kind of the nail on the head. Like, honestly, I knew, having just met with GPD, and quite frankly, we have Phoenix Security that manages security around the depot. We have Allied that manages security around Center City Park and the City Hall, the Melvin Municipal Office Building. So in addition to, and it's nine officers at night for each squad. So you've got nine at night, plus Allied, plus Phoenix. And so it adds up a little bit. I think some of it is, do you make a press release and saying we have more officers? You know, I go back to communication with construction last year on Green, Davie, and Elm. I think communication was a disappointment. And we've got to work together, better together, to help communicate folks. And so I think it's a tough one. We're going to try to get with the city maybe Friday and say, hey, here's what DGI is thinking. Let's go ahead and try to get together. Let us know what you as a city is thinking. But in the meantime, Algernon, we're still going to help people get off the street as best we can. We're still going to advocate for public safety. We had a lights, camera, action, which I just told you about the cameras. The action is working with GPD in the city to enforce any ordinances in a respectful, proper manner. And lights, we want to do more lights to brighten up those darker areas and so people have the sense of safeness. We had Chat on Town, our restaurant week last week. I had dinner a lot downtown. And, you know, you see where folks could say, God, it's a little dark. I don't feel like walking to Natty Green from here. So how can we lighten it up? So lights, camera, action is another initiative we're going to put forth. And so that's where DGI comes into play and filling the gaps and advocating for the business and property owners.
You know, online, and we're going to get a little more into this in a moment, but there's a lot of online chatter, a lot of social media chatter about DGI. There's a page that exists out there now called Yo Greensboro. I've had several people send it to me and read some of the posts. Some of the accusations that I've come across, Zach, is that DGI is not working well with the city and the police department and so forth. But then I'm listening to you, and it sounds like there is a lot of cooperation and interaction that's going on. Without revealing anything confidential, because I know those relationships are pretty sacred, Talk about the working relationship between DGI, the city, the police department, and some of these other agencies.
Honestly, as you know, we've got a great relationship. The city manager just sent, I sent an email to city council last night. I've been meeting with some city council members. We meet with city staff all the time. We've got the GSO 35, the strategic plan coming out. The city's heavily involved in that. We had a meeting, as I mentioned, with GPD about a strategy for more officers this summer. We and Phoenix and Allied were in there. There are very few city departments we don't work well with, none that I know of. You know, the Yo Greensboro page, you know, people certainly showed it to me. I understand the intent and the person behind that page. And, you know, bless his heart.
Well, you know, well, Robbie did say, you know, last week, Zach, that you're taking a lot of bullets. You know, you're taking a lot of criticisms. He even went as far as saying that your board needs to step up publicly and give you a little better cover. Do you agree with Robbie's sentiments? Is your board doing enough to shield you and protect you from some of the blame and the criticism and the finger pointing that's happening on Facebook right now?
You know, a couple of our board members have, and unfortunately, due to the animosity of a few, whenever somebody comes up and says, wait a minute, that's not true. DGI helped us do this. DGI helped us do that. They're working hard to help downtown. They get attacked. And then when they get attacked, it gets boosted on Facebook to try to get more people to show that. And very rarely is anything accurate on those posts. So, you know, they support our team. They support me as the head of the team. And so internally, they certainly ask questions about anything we do, I do, but our board has been supportive. Would I love for the business community that we've helped be more supportive? Sure, absolutely. But that's not going to keep us from doing our job. And, you know, I think Robbie had an opportunity to also be supportive. And I'm not sure he was supportive really of DGI or me last week. And so, you know, it was pull the detractors in. Okay. How about supporting the guy that you've known 22 years that wakes up every day thinking about how we can make our community better?
Well, let's go to that comment that Robbie made. And I honestly, the more I'm having this conversation with you, I almost think I should have invited Robbie back this week. I mean, so that we could all just have the conversation together, because we're going back to all the comments that he made last week. He did talk about the detractors. Do you see any value in pulling together some kind of a roundtable that would involve DGI, the city, maybe Yo Greensboro, maybe all these detractors that feel like you all are just not doing your job?
Actually, I've talked about that. I'm meeting with some folks that have maybe questioned me over the years this week. So, I mean, I'm doing it. You know, Algernon, I'm not one to sit there and post everything and take credit for a lot of stuff. And, you know, I just would rather build relationships and try to figure out, you know, how we can all move forward. As it relates to detractors in this world, first of all, you know, we can do some things. Second of all, it is, I think some of those attacks are just straight up personal attacks. And I don't know, like, that, what do you do? I mean, if they're just flat out personal attacks, then how is that going to move our community forward?
Well, you know, Zach, one of the attacks that I've seen, and I've not spent a lot of time with this Yo Greensboro page. Like I said, I've had several people send it to me trying to encourage me to sort of go down the rabbit hole, but I've not done that. But one of the posts, or some of the posts I've seen, and even Robbie alluded to last week, talked about spending and transparency. Robbie even said some of these spending reports are unexplainable. Do you agree? I mean, what are your thoughts about some of the issues that are being alleged right now on Facebook?
You know, it's funny that Robbie mentioned that, but didn't point to one. I mean, I can look at every expense. My board has looked at every expense and I can explain everything. We've got nothing to hide. Now, does that mean I need to tell millions of people exactly how I spent every dime penny? I need to tell our stakeholders? Absolutely. We're good. You know, they have also manipulated the information to boost it out there to discredit me, and even though it's not true. So it's kind of hard to just, do I spend my time educating folks on the manipulation that certain people do to discredit me? Or do I focus on how we move our community forward? I would rather focus on positive moving forward in this environment that we're in right now. That's my focus.
And I don't disagree with that. I guess my last question on this, I'm going to try to move us on here because this is sort of a hot area here. But with some of the blame game that's happening, Zach, the finger pointing, some of the things that are being alleged on social media, does that have the potential to drive a wedge between DGI and the very business community downtown that your mission is to serve?
I mean, well, that's what the person wants to do.
Are they starting to ask questions about some of the spending and transparency as well?
I don't know what people are doing. I've seen comments I saw on our page. You know, you look at where people are from, you know, on there, you know, Algernon, we have nothing to hide. We've invested dollars. The manipulation on the page is unfortunate. You know, I mean, I don't know what, you can't fight stupid. I mean, it's just unfortunate that people have so much hate and carry so much hate. I feel for them. I don't carry that for anybody. I'm moving forward.
I appreciate that. I do think this is a point where I should also add, you know, for the audience that's watching, because Zach, we've got a bunch of people watching online right now. I do want to say this personally. I've known Zach Matheny for my entire career, my entire professional career. I do call him a friend, not just someone that I know out in the community. I really appreciated him making the time to come and speak to my audience, but also speak to the community about some really, really tough issues. And a lot of blame and criticism that's going around. So I do just want to say that. I just want to get that out personally, that I do consider you to be a friend. So we're going to move on, Zach. Let's move on to another issue here. One of the other issues that Robbie really went hard on is he talked about Elm Street. He said it's substandard. It's unacceptable. It looks like crap. It's dirty. Should Elm Street become the primary focus or priority for DGI moving forward?
And I would say this, there's two things on that, right? One is we've got the GSA 35 plan, which we're going to launch. We've got two great co-chairs on the GSA 35 plan, which are Andrea Harrell, assistant city manager, and a gentleman named Rick Ramsey, who is a business owner that has an office in downtown. And so we're excited about the momentum that they've been able to garner. Interestingly enough, anybody that's been asked to be on the committee has said yes. What are they? We've got four committees. One, probably number one, is energize Elm Street. Number two is cultivate Church Street. Three is harness housing. How can we grow more housing? And four is grow the Greenway, which is really growing the Greenway and unlocking the land around the Greenway for private investment. Because when you have a public asset, you really want to spur private investment to help fund that. And so those are the four, and energizing Elm Street is one of them.
And then what type of, what type of financing, what kind of price tag do you think some of this revitalization might cost the city?
Well, we did a $20 million streetscape bond in 2016, I think. That, you know, with the COVID hitting, you know, design, I think we didn't act as fast as we could have. Again, DGI is not, we're advocates on this. But that money was, you know, prices went up in after COVID, timing, how to get things in. And so what do we need to upgrade Elm Street? Elm Street is where our businesses are. How do you tear up that street? I think we're a little construction hungover at this point because last year was a challenge. Algernon, it was a challenge. I mean, literally downtown, I felt like it was shut down due to street construction. So I think some of it has a price tag that will be, you know, on the, you know, the backs of the city. It's a city road, city sidewalks. But there's also small things that we can help with. You know, my friend Knox White, the mayor of Greenville, South Carolina, says, you really want to stimulate the mind three times per block. And so are there small public art pieces, some culture that we can do to help energize Elm Street? There's two more things I'll say. One is we're working with the CVB and a few other folks, Creative Greensboro and the Arts Council of Greater Greensboro, to activate in-store restaurant space on live music. We give grants every first Friday called First Friday Micro Grants that help folks if they want to program inside their store, create that culture. The more we can do that while dressing up outside is key. And I think the second thing would be comments that I see about empty storefronts. And that's a tough one. We worked, and I think Miller Furniture was brought up last week. We worked significantly over the last 10 years to work with Mr. Miller to get his building occupied. And we were able to do that last year with Hudson Seal taking half of it. In our, you know, for DGI, we don't control any buildings. We've got no tools from condemnation. We can't control eminent domain. We have no property owners, right? Like we don't control property owners. There's a fine line between property owner rights and a stick that mandates somebody do something with their building. Mm. So we can try our best. NC Rail, they have the 1899 Depot that they bought 3 years ago that's been still sitting empty and boarded up. Do I send them emails asking them to activate that building? Absolutely. Can I make them do it? The answer is no. They have property owner rights, just like anybody else. And so while we work hard on empty storefronts, ultimately, what can we do to make a property owner, which I don't get, Algernon, you're a real estate guy. Like, I would rather somebody be
also
in my
private building. Property rights advocate.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I would rather somebody occupy my building so I can get what? Rent, cash flow. If it's empty, you're paying taxes on an asset that's not healthy. So I'm all for filling up empty storefronts, but I need property owners to allow us to help them do it.
It's this question. I'm so glad I'm running out of time, but you brought up a really good point at the end there. I'm a huge, and my audience knows this, I'm a conservative, so I'm a huge proponent of private property rights. I used to be on the board at Treebig. I used to be on the board of the TCC over in the Triangle. I write for Carolina Journal, so we believe in limited government as well. You know, what can the city potentially do to incentivize property owners that have this kind of deferred maintenance at a building? I know in Winston-Salem, we've got a lot of property owners that just have old buildings. They're really difficult to bring to code. It costs you a lot of money to bring them up to code. I know down in Lexington, I worked with former Mayor Newell Clark on a program to help revitalize the uptown area of Lexington. I know a lot of cities are trying to figure out how to provide financial support to property owners that want to take care of their buildings. Is there anything Greensboro is currently doing or could do in partnership with DGI?
Yeah, you know, there's been always, it's called the Good Repair Ordinance, and Robbie worked on it. Justin Atlein worked on it. But again, it comes down to property owner rights. I mean, there's compliance issues from a graffiti standpoint and how to take care of your building. You know, we can certainly have code compliance go in and check and make sure fire extinguishers are up to date, any other compliance issues that the property could have. But a lot of these times, Algernon, the compliance folks will go through and everything's in just enough good order that they pass. Now, 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, I was able to really put pressure on the News and Record site to tear that building down. An unsheltered friend of mine, Tiffany, was murdered in one of the buildings. The mayor at the time, Nancy Vaughn, and I were showing the building to some folks. Robbie might have been there, actually. They left. We wanted to see the rest of the building, and we had an officer, two officers, go walk us through the buildings, gun drawn, flashlights. That's scary to think about. You got to do that to walk through a building. And so we were ultimately able to get the News and Record and Lee Enterprises to tear the building down for safety purposes. And ultimately, by doing that, we had a group of local investors buy the News and Record site and are going through that process. And so that's something DGI can do, that I can do, is just continue to put pressure. And then the question is, Algernon, you got empty storefronts, you got a 10-year strategic plan, you've got homelessness, unsheltered, safety, working with GPD, working with every department in the city. How do you prioritize your time to get things moving in the right direction? And going back to some of the other comments, I'll listen to folks that have good constructive criticism. I wrote down a page. I went through our notes, our Facebook page last night, and literally wrote a page of notes looking at the comments that over 500 people left, or 500 comments. Some of them were duplicative. So I'm watching and listening. But at the end of the day, I want to prioritize my time on where the business owners, property owners, and tourists are wanting us to focus. I'll tell you two more things. Foot traffic. I saw a lot about pedestrian foot traffic. Our foot traffic was actually about the same as the year prior. We had, you know, I used Placer AI data, to track how many residents were getting, or how many visits we're getting. Last year, we had 9.2 million. Winston-Salem had about 8.5. So Winston-Salem's doing pretty decent too. So we're getting foot traffic. People just aren't spending. Yeah. The second thing I'll tell you, because I know you said you got time, we've got 10 businesses that are scheduled to open this year. Dear Dad, a restaurant on Battleground near Horse Spring Creek, is opening their second location, hopefully in this month in February, in downtown Greensboro on Elm Street. Pronto Health, Southern Style Elegance Catering, Dolce Aroma is going to reopen. We're working with Three Rabbit Brewing, Whiskey Chasers. So we do have positive activity in spite of the economy that we're fighting through right now.
Yeah, and you are an advocate, and I'll say this again, you know, Zach was very responsive, you know, when we put the call out and wanted to have this conversation. And sometimes community leaders and city leaders are not as responsive. They don't want to have these tough, long-form discussions about big issues, but Zach was very responsive, and I appreciate that. I will tell my audience, and hopefully she might even be listening, someone that wasn't responsive is Mayor Abuzwader. We have extended an invitation to Mayor Abuzwader to join the Locked In program to talk, to have a long form conversation about some of the issues that are going on in downtown. And I think after having former mayor, her opponent in last year's election here, which last week with some very tough criticisms, I think this is the time now for Mayor Abuzwader. If you are out there, if you are listening, now is the time for you to be responsive and step up and actually talk about these issues and sit down and have this conversation. So, Zach, I really appreciate you being willing to do so. My last and final question for you today, with everything that's going on right now, what do you need most from the residents of Greensboro? How can they really, really, if they truly, that resident that is listening, that doesn't want to be anti-DGI, wants to be supportive, wants to be in the boat, what can they do to help you?
You know, that's a fair question. You know, I've said in the past, support your local businesses. And I get that it's tough. I saw some comments about how they're tight on their, you know, their income, their savings. And I'm talking about not just downtown Greensboro. You mentioned Winston-Salem. I've heard from Durham, Charlotte, Raleigh. This is not just downtown Greensboro. This is beyond. But if you're local here in downtown, certainly support your downtown restaurants. And quite frankly, again, I'll say beyond downtown. This is small business. This is, I think Robbie said, this is a dream. This is a hope. This is hard work. and do that. The second all, you know, we've got a GSO 35 plan. Be engaged. Reach out to us. info@downtowngreensboro.org or Zach, Z-A-C-K, @downtowngreensboro.org. Let us know if you want to be involved. Let us know if you've got ideas. I'll listen. You know, I'm welcome for ideas, but, you know, this is a time where we need to bound together as a community, as a triad, to work together and collaborate for the betterment, not only of our small business, but our own personal health. It's tough out there in the nation right now. We don't need to be tough on each other. We need to be supportive of each other. And that includes small businesses.
I totally agree. If you found value in this conversation, I want to remind you, independent, long-form conversations like this only happen with listener support. If you'd like to help sustain this work, visit lockedin.cash to become a supporter. Your contribution helps keep these conversations going, honest, thoughtful, and grounded in the realities our communities are facing. I'm so grateful to have Zach Matheny lock in with me today. I'm so grateful to have you lock in with me today. And as always, just thank you for listening. Make sure you stay tuned to WTOB because every Sunday morning, that's where you can lock in with me. But if you happen to miss me there, make sure you're subscribed to the podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you like to get your favorite podcast. You can always lock in there. And until next time, y'all stay locked in.
The executive producer of the Locked In podcast is Algernon Cash for WGC. The associate producer is Tim Beeman for Such and Such Media. This podcast is copyrighted and cannot be reproduced without express written consent of WGC.